Before we pray, I think it would be great to give a special hand to both Peter and Cindy. They did a lot of the planning for Trunk or Treat. Such an awesome job this year, and we have already lots of ideas for next year and ways to really engage with our community even more. So it was awesome to see you all, and Chris is back with Kids Zone now, but Chris got into full makeup, and you know, we had, where's Roxy? Yeah, there you are. Roxy and Charles had their full getup, and it was just great to see everybody. There was face paint happening, I think, with Under the Sea back there. You know, so there were a lot of great opportunities. I know the police department said that they handed out 1,500 bags. So we don't know exactly how many kids came through, but there were at least 1,500, maybe even closer to 2,000 kids. So what a great way for us to live. One of the three parts of our mission is serving our community. So I'm really excited for what we were able to do, and excited to see how God kind of uses this in going forward and in the future. So it's an exciting thing. I just wanted to highlight one other thing. This coming Saturday is our next men's breakfast. It's at 8 a.m. There's also an opportunity in our community if you're looking for ways to get involved. They are building another playground, and they are looking for volunteers. If you want more information, you can talk to me. I think Roxy also had a link on Facebook. Yeah, but they are asking for people. If you want to help volunteer to be a part of this building a playground thing, they provide breakfast and lunch, but they want you to commit to the whole day, 8 to 3, all right? So if you have time this coming Saturday and you'd like to be involved with that, you can get more information after the service. Another great way to reach out, and who doesn't love seeing kids have a nice new playground? It should be a great opportunity. I'm going to lead us in a little time of prayer this morning, and I want to thank you again for those of you that who continue to share your prayer requests, and I want you to know that we pray over those every week. We take it very seriously, and if you experience answers to prayer in your life, please let us know. Get back to us so that we can be encouraged by what God is doing in your life, and if appropriate, you know, we'll share it with our entire church family. It's good that we're praying for one another, and it's one of the things that is the core of who we want to be as a church that really cares and is committed to praying for one another. A special thank you to those of you that are visiting with us today. My name is Steve Houghton. I gratefully serve as the pastor of this church, and will you join me now in a time of prayer? Father, we come before you today, and we are so grateful to be able to worship you together. One group of people from a variety of backgrounds. We each have different things that are going on in our lives. And yet today, at this moment, we are united as one to worship you. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the ways that you are at work in the lives of each person here this morning, the ways that you are at work in our town, in our area, those people that you are bringing into our path each day who may have never had the opportunity to hear of your love for them. God, I pray that you will give us eyes that are wide open to see what is around us, so that we can respond and be your hands and your feet, your people in this world. God, you are indeed awesome. We're also well aware that we're not perfect. And if we claim to be, we're not being honest. Lord, we want to confess those ways in which we strayed from your path just in this past week. Those things that are going on in our lives that we just can't seem to shake. God, we confess our sins to you. We ask for your forgiveness. Will you restore us? Give us another chance, just as you gave chance after chance to your first people, the Israelites, that we'll talk about in just a few minutes. God, we thank you that you are the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. God, thank you. We give you thanks for all of the efforts, all of the people that were involved with Trunk or Treat this past week. All of those little children, all of the big children, everyone who was dressed up. It was a blessing to serve our community in that way. God, we thank you for those who are going through times where they have found new employment. We praise you for providing work for folks. We thank you for the way that you have watched over people who have been traveling on the road. Thank you for safe travels. God, we acknowledge that there are many things that happen to us every day that should give us pause to thank you. I pray in this coming week that you would help us to do that, to give you thanks. God, we also know that there are lots of things that are going on, not just in our personal life, but in our community, in our world. We pray for those who are going through family strife right now that you would be the great reconciler and that you would bring people together, restore wounds that have perhaps we have caused or contributed to, or wounds that have been done to us. God, will you give us the ability to forgive others? We pray for those who have lost their jobs. May they find gainful employment, God. See, you're concerned about all of those things because you created every hair on our head. You created every cell in our body. And everything matters to you. God, we pray for those who are going through financial struggles even today that you would provide out of your rich abundance, whether it's financial resources or the resource of time. God, we pray for those who have yet to know and accept your unconditional love for them. God, for those people that we know and those we have yet to know who do not yet know you. God, we pray for salvation. God, as a church, will you improve our ability to communicate with one another? Help us to communicate in the ways that you would desire for us to utilize. Both in our words and our actions, may we live out the love that you call us to show. And God, finally, for those who are going through health, it's a struggle. Perhaps even to be here today for those who are too sick or not feeling well to come to church today. May they know that you are with them right now, that they are a part of this body even if they are absent physically. God, I think this morning of one particular young man who is going to be going through heart surgery at the end of the year. God, will you pray for Noah? Will you surround him with your love and comfort, relieve his anxiety, God, and in all the preparation over these next few months, will you orchestrate the circumstances of his surgery? God, we pray for healing for him. As your people, Lord, you call us to pray. And so we do joyfully and expectantly. We thank you for the privilege. Will you now bless us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning to everyone. This is the last week that we are in the book of Joshua. And the book of Joshua chronicles the story of the Israelites as God is leading them finally into the promised land and then everything that happens. And we're finally in week four, the last week of this shorter series. They're actually in the land now. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We've been following their story. And the promised land is that place where God has said, you will experience rest. You will experience peace. All the things that I have promised for you, if you follow me, if you listen to me. He was providing a way for them to live out their calling, their job, their duty to be his treasured people. For those of you that haven't been able to be here each week, just a quick reminder. The first week we were looking at the very beginning, Joshua 1, and we saw how God alone sustains and strengthens us. And as we realize that, it provides encouragement for us on the way. He calls us to do things that we don't always feel confident in doing. And it's God's strength that helps us to do so. In week two, we were learning that God wants us to be unified as a people. That if we don't have unity, we're not actually thriving and being who God calls us to be. Last week, we learned how our past is no barrier for God. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you were. In Christ, you are a new creation. And God can actually utilize the things that we don't always like about our past for his glory now. In fact, some of our greatest moments of pain are the things that God says, watch what I'm going to do with that. And you're going to have an ability to connect with people in different ways through the pain that you have experienced. We looked at Joshua and Rahab and who they were, and God gave them particular tasks to do. In Joshua 3, the Israelites finally cross the Jordan River. And God does this amazing miracle again where his presence goes right in front of the people and it splits the Jordan River in two. And it says they walked on dry ground, just like he had done all those years before at the Red Sea. And so this is the image that the people have. God has just done this amazing miracle again and said, this is the power that I have and that you have access to all the time if you follow me. Now, they're in the promised land. Finally, the place that they have been waiting for. And they've just crossed the Jordan River. Remember how the Jordan River was at flood stage? And if you've ever tried to cross something at flood stage, you don't want to do that because you're probably going to get swept away. They cross the river at this point, and they're thinking, man, we're in the promised land now. We must be home free. And yet, if you are someone who likes to read ahead, you know that the Jordan River was not even close to their last barrier. To remain living in the land would require hard days ahead. Days where you wake up and you feel, I don't feel like following what God wants me to do today. The experience of the Israelites, I believe, is really instructive for us. You might be in a period of peace and calm in your life right now. If you are, awesome. Great. And in fact, if you have the ability to sort of let that kind of ooze off of you to the folks around you, even better. But if you're like many people, a lot of the time, not always so much peace and calm happening. You've experienced challenges in your life. Maybe you woke up this morning and bam, it's like you just walked into a wall. Hopefully not figuratively, but you just hit something this morning, or maybe it was this past week, or maybe it's going to be something that you hit tomorrow. That tough challenge in your life. Maybe your health takes a sudden turn. Maybe you lose a close friend or a family member. Maybe you're not even sure what's going to happen. You have a relationship that just becomes difficult in a new way. You've been getting along and all of a sudden, why am I fighting all the time with this person? Or maybe depression rears its ugly head as we move into the wintertime. Or you get laid off or fired. Or maybe it's just plain old stress. There's nothing plain or old about it. Or exhaustion just sets in for you. You know, as part of the human experience, that those days are going to come, those moments are going to happen. And we haven't even touched the whole wide span of what God might call you to do as well, to reach out to that person that you really don't want to reach out to grow in that way spiritually that you're really not sure that you want to do, to share his love in ways that you're not so comfortable sharing. Maybe it's to serve in a new or different way that you never thought you could before. You see, God has all of us on the path. We know this. We're on this journey. And the decision is always the same as it was for the Israelites. It's the same for us now. Will we forge on forward? Or will we see the barrier in front of us and just kind of turn and run away? We're all going to be at those moments. Those are those put up or shut up moments in life. Shut up was a word that I wasn't allowed to say when I was growing up. I would have gotten a look. Put up or shut up moments are those times where no more excuses, no more delays. For God's people in this particular story, this was that moment. They had the walls of Jericho before them, and they had the flooded Jordan behind them. We would call that the proverbial between a rock and a hard place. For you and I, where do we turn in those moments? I would suggest that our primary place to turn is God's Word. This is the compass that when we're in those moments will keep us on track. Let's take a look at this story about how this group of people were able to overcome the barriers that were standing right before them. Let me read Joshua 6:1. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. I believe we have that verse up on the screen. The people are right in front of Jericho, and it says, "The gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in." Now we know from previous chapters that the people that were inside Jericho had already rejected God, except for one person. And who was she? Rahab. And she saved her whole family, or she was about to save her whole family. Everyone else had already rejected God. And it says that they were scared, that their courage had melted in fear because they saw this big force out in front of them. And yet from the Israelites, they're looking at Jericho as, how are we supposed to even get in here? This place is a fortress. Do you know that Jericho is one of the oldest continuously occupied cities in the world in history? It's been occupied for some 9,000 years by 20 different groups of people. It knew how to defend itself. It was called the City of Palms, or the Place of Fragrance. Even today, there are farmers who grow bananas there because there's something about that area close to the Jordan River that just has really good soil. It's about 5 miles west of the Jordan River. It was called the Key to the West. Jericho was that place where you had to basically go through it or pass by it on your way to the rest of what was in what we would now think of as Israel. Jericho was an important city. It was a decision-making town. It was a place where people went. It was a symbol of strength and power. You know, when they excavated some of the walls of ancient Jericho, they finally got a sense of how wide the walls were. This is the oldest double wall city that they found in the entire world. Can I have you help me? Will you just stand up for a second? Tell me when I get to 11. Am I at 11? Close to 11? Okay. The distance between us was how thick the outer wall was. Just the outer wall. Okay, that's one. Now, this only goes up to 30 feet, okay? So imagine a wall 11 feet thick. Now, go up somewhere 12 to 14 feet. I can't even get that high. So double my height, that is the height of the outer wall. Now, we're not talking about modern warfare. We're talking about ancient super thick wall. This city had two walls. It had a double wall. The second wall, the inner wall, get this, 25 feet high, 20 feet thick, as wide just about as all of our chairs are this morning. Have that image in your mind because that gives you a sense of the barrier that the Israelites are facing. this isn't like going to a homecoming game where you break through the little barrier that's this thick and everyone cheers. We're talking about something that no human being could even remotely hope to get through. And this is what God says, I want you to go through there. This is the place that I want you to go into. This is the place that you have to conquer right now. An impossible, impossible barrier. How do you overcome something that seems impossible? Take a look at verses 2 through 5. Let me read that from Joshua 6 for us. It says, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. You know, last week we talked about how God doesn't often give us the how we're supposed to do things. This is pretty specific, how you're supposed to do it. And this is his plan for getting the people around. Everyone else is just walking around quiet. Do that. Okay. Can you imagine doing that day one? Okay. We got this. Day two. Okay. Day three, day four, day five, day six. If the Israelites could not conquer this stronghold, then their hope was going to melt away, just like the courage of their enemies had already melted away. I imagine some of them, we don't have any record of it, but there's always a pessimist in the group. There's somebody thinking, this ain't a very good strategy. This ain't a good battle strategy. In every battle, there's one thing that often leads to defeat, and it's a lack of communication. It can force bad decisions. It can cause collateral damage. It can even get people killed. So God shows us one of the primary ways that we overcome barriers that are before us. He communicates with the people. And then Joshua communicates everything in more detail to the people. It says, and the Lord said. And whenever we read that in the Bible, that might sound strange to our ears that God is giving them a direct word. Now, some of you have a lot of experience with this. Others of you, perhaps you've never heard a direct word from the Lord before. But this was the norm for Joshua. When it says, and the Lord said, this was the pattern of Joshua's life, that God spoke to him, that they were communicating. They had spent a lifetime of walking together. And I believe that this is also a key for us too, that we overcome barriers through communication with God. If you have a struggle with a person in your household and you have a failure to communicate, chances are things are not going to go out too well for you. And the same thing is true for us as we're talking about communicating with God. If we're not regularly communicating with Him, see, God wants to speak to us. In fact, we were talking about this before the service. He often is speaking to us. We're just not aware. He's brought that person into our life that's asking for help, but we're too busy. I got to get the groceries. I don't have time, or I don't notice that this person needs help right in front of me. We overcome barriers through communication with God. You see, Joshua knew who was in control of his life. And in case he didn't know, we don't have this on the screen, but let me read what happened just before they attacked Jericho. It says, Joshua was near Jericho. He looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or against us? Are you for us or for our enemies? And the man replied, "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. See, he knew that when you're communicating with God and God speaks, you better listen. And you better do what God is asking you to do. Because if you don't, you can try having it your own way. Anyone try that before? I know I have. Does that usually work out? I doubt it. It might for a moment. Joshua knows who's in control. He recognizes God's holy presence in his life, and he obeys him. I believe that whatever stands before you, whatever stands before us as the church, that God wants to communicate with us so that we can move with him wherever he is moving. And we stand no chance of trying to break down the wall on our own. I don't know anyone here who could tunnel through a 25-foot thick wall unless you're Shawshank master. Maybe that's about it. But we have no chance if we're trying to rely on our own strength, no matter how strong we are. If you're up against a wall even today, you woke up and you're just feeling like there's this impossible thing in front of you, I want to encourage you to spend time communicating with God. Ask him, "Lord, what is the way forward for me?" If that's dealing with someone in your life, "God, how might I be able to change my role in that?" You can't change the other person. We can try, but it ain't going to work. Communicate with the Lord your God. Let that be the first point of action for you and not a last resort. What is God telling you? How is he directing your steps? Is it confirmed by other people in your life? Some of you know I used to be a teacher. I was a science teacher. And when I heard God speak and say, "I want you to leave teaching," something that I really love, I love the classroom, "I want you to go into full-time ministry," At first I was like, "I'm not so sure about that." But I felt kind of confirmed in that because my wife said, "When do we pack?" And then I went and talked to my pastor, and he said, "Yeah, I can see it." And we talked to some of our friends, and they said, "Yeah, it just seems right. Seems like this is what God has in store for you." To me, it seemed like this impossible thing. Because, see, I don't like being up front. I don't know if you probably don't know this about me. I prefer sitting at that table back there. And yet, this is what God called me to do. What is God calling you to do? Some of you are doing that right now. What is God calling you to overcome in your life? Listen for his voice. If you like to talk, maybe he's telling you to listen more. In fact, if you like to talk, it might require extra listening in order to hear his voice. If you like to be quiet, if you like to be internal, I like to be in myself, then maybe he's asking you to speak up more. Maybe your communication requires extra words to be able to describe what you're feeling. I'm not saying to be an extrovert if you're an introvert or be an introvert if you're an extrovert, but how is God speaking to you to overcome the things that are going on in your life? Whatever part of the spectrum you're on, one thing is true. We overcome those barriers through regular communication with God. Now let's see how that strategy of walking around Jericho plays out. Let me read the next part. Verses 6 through 20. I'll move over here. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it," and he ordered the army, "Advance! March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward. blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets. The rear guard followed the ark. All the time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. They're having dinner. They're saying, "Man, that was a super productive day." Verse 12, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them. The rear guard followed the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. Save up your energy. Except that on that day they circled the city 7 times, the 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Don't take any of the spoils that you might find. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." Verse 20. When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. How'd the strategy work out? Pretty well. It worked. It worked because they followed what God said. If you read the very next chapter, though, somebody doesn't. I'll leave that for you to read on your own. See, God communicated a very straightforward, detailed plan, albeit one that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. You know, we think that walls will fall because we can just blow them up. And yet God says, "I'm going to show you my power in this if you listen to me." And Joshua obeys and communicates God's plan. And this is the second thing, I think, for us. We overcome barriers in this way, through obedience to God. See, maybe there's that thing that's going on in your life that has been there for a long time. And maybe it's still there because we haven't been obedient to what God is saying. See, God wanted them to live in the promised land. He wanted to give them all of the abundance of the promised land. And yet he says, if you don't listen to me in this regard, then you yourselves might be liable to destruction as well. On Friday night, we went to the football game, Pittsburgh football game. They barely eked one out. And the wonderful marching band was there. And when we were watching them do their routine during halftime, Rebecca marked that their brass section is incredible. And for high schoolers, brass, those instruments, they're really difficult to get right. And when I was watching them, I couldn't help but thinking about this story because I knew we'd be talking about it today. And those brass people, not only were they sort of leading the way, but this whole band was disciplined. And if they weren't following in step with the two people that were doing this on the sides, on those step ladders, and the drum major that was doing his thing, you know, moving all around, it would have just fallen apart. The whole thing would not have worked. They had discipline. They had control. And for 6 days, these people had to walk around that city. I think maybe God was testing them, saying, "Are you still going to trust me? I've got this plan. I want to give everything to you, but this is what you're going to have to do all this time. Is this going to work out? And then on the seventh day, they shout and give glory to God. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. You see, obeying God didn't require them to know the whole plan. It didn't require them to even know how the walls were going to be breached. It just required them to obey. And he was having them do it this way for a purpose, saying, I am the Lord your God who is leading you. I am the one who's doing this for you. Not because I think I'm all great and I want to be all powerful, even though I am, but because I want to show you a better way. Never has a barrier quite been overcome like this barrier of Jericho. They had already seen the power of God at work, and so they did it. They marched around the city. It's what God desires from us too, I believe. Continued obedience in your life is a key to experiencing the powerful hand of God. As I think back in my life, those times where I've been most disobedient, I have felt, where are you, God? I haven't felt the power of God. And yet, when I recommit myself, when I'm more obedient, when I'm seeking to follow what God has in store for me, things just seem to work out. Not for the good every single time. Life still happens. Curveballs happen. Sometimes we're able to hit, sometimes we're not able to hit. I believe that God can lead you to overcome the barrier, and you know what your major barrier is. I believe that God is speaking to you. So what does he require from you? What act of obedience might he be looking for from you in this time in your life? We overcome barriers through continued obedience to God. Lastly, number three, we overcome barriers by showing confidence in God. See, if he had given them this plan and then all the people are like, you know, giving that look like, do you actually know what you're doing? The look my brother might have given you. What are you, an idiot? I have a better way. No, they had to show confidence in God. The impossible becomes possible only through God's power. And it doesn't make any sense from the perspective of our world. But believing this, having confidence that the Lord will help you to overcome, that the Lord will lead his church forward, makes total sense for God's people, because as he's done it before, he does it now and will do again and again and again, because God is faithful. See, the walls were never the problem. They never are. The problem is us. We get in the way. We see the wall instead of seeing what's beyond the wall that God wants us to live into in our life. When you have a disagreement with your spouse, with your friend, your child, whoever it is, it's usually not about the thing that you're fighting about. It's the thing behind the thing. I don't know what that is. I'm still trying to figure that out. It's not about curtains. It's not about the grocery. Getting groceries, it's about something else. The walls are not our problem. It's us. What's behind the walls? If we get in our own way and God has the power to do as he wills and wants, then all he requires from us is to be obedient. This alone will demonstrate that we have confidence in God. When we do this, he'll take care of those walls. It might not be in the way that you want. God rarely works in the way that we want. It may not be in the time frame that you want. God rarely works on our time frame either. Today, what step of trust is God asking you to take in your life? What step of trust will show that you actually have confidence that God will see you through whatever is going on? You see, we can't comprehend the sheer power of God. That would take a wall as thick as our chairs and reduce it to rubble. The power of God to be able to do that in an instant. We overcome barriers by showing confidence in God. This story provides us great hope. It can provide you great hope to see that God's will is working out in your life. He wants to overcome any barrier that's separating you from that promised land life. He really does care about you, just as he cares about all of us. He wants you to experience the fullness of life in the promised land. No walls, no barriers. Fast forward to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. Often we talk about that as Hebrews 11 as the chapter of faith. Verse 30 reminds us, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. You see, they demonstrated deep confidence that God knew what he was doing, and they did it. I believe that this similar kind of experience awaits you as well, but it requires a similar response of faith. As you learn to respond to God in this way, my prayer for you is that the Lord would give you a deep well of faith, a deep well of trust as you see God at work, that it would just well up into you and say, I am so confident that God will make a way forward, even though I can't see it right now, because the Lord is always faithful. May we learn to be so too. God is indeed lifted up. And as you have been fed by him and nourished by him, so now go in his power to love and serve him and each other the whole week through. Go in peace. Amen.